Anyway, I'm going to start with a partial verse here. Then we're going to come back and put it in context. If you want to start looking, we're going to go to John 14. But Jesus saith unto him, who's Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So today I'm going to talk about what God looks like. You ever ask that question? What does God really look like? Look at all these pictures we look at. Did he really look like that? And then there's this debate. Well, he couldn't have looked like this, or he would have looked like this. Well, what does he look like? So in order to put this in context a little bit, I'm going to start at the first verse and read for the moment down to verse 11. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and so here he is trying to prepare them. He's going to leave. He's getting ready to take off. Not only that, he's going to go through the cross and everything else and be buried. And here's his disciples whom he loves. And so he's trying to prepare them. And it's starting out with verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Poor Thomas. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, if I was asking that question, I wouldn't have been any wiser. It's like, you're the way. I wanted to know the way to the Father. You say, you're the way. Okay. Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 7, if you had known me, if you know me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Well, now Philip gets in on it. And he says to him, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus just said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. So Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Well, Jesus doesn't always answer us the way we want it. Have you ever figured that out yet? He doesn't always tell you right when you want it either. But here he says, we just want to see what the Father looks like. And Jesus is saying, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we do know that God wants us to know him, right? He's not trying to hide himself from his children. Why would he hide himself from his children? He wants us to know him. So if we can get a glimpse of what Jesus looks like, then we can see our Father God, right? Okay. You ever hear someone say, he's the splitting image of his Father? Now, they may be looking at the natural, you know, appearance of a person. And, oh, you know, with the genes and everything that we have learned about, it's because they have certain genes, they look the same, you know. Well, Jesus had God's DNA, didn't he? So the way Jesus looked is the way the Father looks. So if we can see what Jesus looks like, we can see the Father, right? Amen. So what does Jesus look like then? Well, we're going to read Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. And we'll come back here again later. But if I can find Hebrews. Here we go. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, he's talking about Jesus being the express image or the very image of God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus was the express image of God the Father. Now, when you talk about the express image, you're talking about something like, it, say, a printing press, they have a they have a plate or something, they make a picture of somebody. That's an express image. And when it's printed, you see the what that person looks like in the newspaper. Or if you look in a mirror, that's an express image of what you look like. It's an expression, but it's an exact expression, right? It shows the details of what you look like. And that's what he's saying here, that Jesus is showing exactly what the Father looks like. He's a picture of the Father. He's that express image. So we go back to, what does Jesus look like? Well, back in December when I was starting this message, the Lord just kind of gave a little revelation to me. I love it when he does that. You know, he speaks to you inside. And he says to me, he says, the outward appearance does not dictate what you look like to God. Your nature is how God recognizes you. And his nature is how we recognize him. That is why when the different ones wrote about God or Jesus, he appeared different to each one of them. He showed an aspect of his nature. That is one reason Jesus did not stand out in his physical appearance, and why people did not recognize him as the Christ. God didn't want them to focus on the outward appearance. If so, he would have had an artistic rendition of him from way back when, and it would have been preserved through all the generations so that we could see exactly what God looks like in the natural. But how many of you know that anytime we have an image of something, we tend to worship that instead of the true God? He didn't want us to be focusing on the natural. So let's read Isaiah 53, 1 to 3. Isaiah starts out, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Who does God reveal himself to? "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." He's talking about Jesus. "And as a root out of the dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." He didn't want people following Jesus because of what he looked like in the natural. That's what the world does, right? Look at all the movie stars and everything. Oh, they got to be beautiful. They got to be made up just so for the whole world to follow after him. But that's not the way God does it. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." So if we saw a picture of what Jesus looks like in the natural, we might tend to despise him, because he wouldn't fit what we think a person ought to look nice with in order to follow them. Do you think about that? It happens a lot. Okay, so now let's go ahead and turn to John 1:1. So we see, too, that God is not confined to a physical appearance. He appears differently to different people. And you know what? In the spirit, we're not confined that way either. It's really hard to understand that we can have different appearance at times. But God looks at our nature, right? He looks at our maturity. He looks at all kinds of stuff. So, John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's talking about Jesus, as we all know, that this Word was actually God being spoken, and he was spoken into the world. And yeah, go ahead and put 2 up. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So here, when the Son of God, the very Word of God, was here on earth, because he didn't come in the form and the shape and the look that everybody wanted and expected, they didn't recognize him. That is the religious leaders who had studied about what he looks like. They didn't accept him. They didn't want him. He didn't fit their mold. And here was the light of glory in their presence. But because they were so filled with darkness, they couldn't receive it. They couldn't receive it. They didn't want it. Because men love darkness rather than light. Because what happens when light comes along? It's going to expose their evil deeds, right? When God's light shines on our hearts, there's a lot of times things that gets exposed that we don't want to be seen. But if we allow him to minister to us, and we can get rid of some of those things, how much freer we are. Amen? In the Rotherham translation, I don't think you have that one, but it's John 1:14. Well, let's read John 1:14 in the New King James first. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the Rotherham translation says, and the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. In other words, he came to stay with us, right? You pitch your tent. And we gazed upon his glory, a glory full of favor and truth. This is what the disciples were looking at. John was talking about it. He says, this is what we saw. We saw the glory of God. They were getting to know Jesus because of his nature and not because of his appearance. It took them a while to figure it out, didn't it? Well, now, I don't know how many of you like to study the names of God, but the names of God reveal to us his nature. What he looks like. What does he look like? In the spirit realm, we can, by our eyes of faith, we can see what God looks like. Names are words, right? For a word or a nature to become a reality in our natural world, there has to be an action to describe it, such as light shines, right? The action word is shines. One of God's names is light. So we read that earlier in John here. Well, let's turn to 1 John 1:5. As usual, I'm taking you for a walk through the Bible. If you can't say it with scriptures, then don't say it, right? You got to work your fingers a little bit, but if you look upon it, then it becomes more reality to you. So 1 John and 1st chapter and verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then we see in Revelations 21:23. Right at the end of the whole thing. what we're looking forward to, right? One day we're going to be able to rejoice in this by experiencing it. I can't get my pages to separate. Okay. They're stuck. This is a new Bible. Okay, so what did I say? 21:23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So God is light. Can you imagine? Now we're getting a picture of him. He is light. We don't even need the sun or the stars or anything. Here we are in a totally different atmosphere because Jesus himself is the center of the universe. He is there and he's just shining with the glory of God. I don't know if you try to look at the sun, it's really hard to make out what it looks like because it's so bright, right? Well, this is going to be so much brighter. So much brighter that when we're in his presence, there's no darkness, no darkness at all. So when we look at light, or say the sun, we can see that it shines, right? It produces life, warmth, direction, since we can see where we're going to go. It reveals things. There's revelation. Amen? So Jesus became flesh so that we could see God and get to know God. Father God gave of himself by giving to us Jesus. He wanted us to know him. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Oh, wait a minute. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Sorry. I get you guys confused. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God is the one that commanded this light because he wanted us to see. Amen? He wanted us to know. He was going to shine this light into our hearts. Well, what's our heart? Our spirit man? Because it's our spirit man that needs to see what God looks like. It's not our natural eyes that need to have a picture of God, right? Because he will appear different to each one of us. Whatever we are needing at the moment, that's how he's going to appear to us. Whatever name of God we need at the present time is how he's going to appear to us. So let's go back to John, the 14th chapter. We're going to continue reading just a little bit further down there. We're going to go to verses 21 to 23. John 14, 21 to 23. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So if we love God, which we take that by faith, then he promises that he's going to manifest himself to us. He's going to show himself to us. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So here Judas was, he's still in the natural. He wanted to know, how are you going to reveal yourself to us and not everybody else see it? They didn't know it yet. They didn't really know what Jesus was and why he was there. But Jesus and the Father were going to come and live in our hearts. So, you know, when anyone lives with you, you should get to know them, right? I say should because sometimes we still don't know one another. But say in a marriage, before, you know, you saw the natural, right? You looked at them, you either liked or did not like what you saw, but somehow or other, they must have been attractive because you decided, okay, we're going to get married. So now, after you're married and you're living with that person, you really get to see what they look like, right? And a lot of times it's not the picture you thought you were looking at. It never is, because we don't know. We never reveal ourselves totally to somebody else. You can be living with somebody for a long time, and they still may not know what you're really like. But we should get to know them better, right? If you've been living with somebody, you should get to know their nature, how they're going to react, what they're going to do. And if you say something a certain way, you know what kind of reaction you're going to get. Well, if you don't want that reaction, then don't say it. Ask God for wisdom, right? Well, Jesus is saying, we're going to come and we're going to live with you, the Father and I, and we're going to reveal ourselves to you. You're going to get to know us even better because we're coming and we're going to live within you. So love is the number one commandment, right? It sums up all the other commandments. Well, God's nature is love, right? We've heard a lot about that. And this week, Valentine's Day, surely there's been a lot of love being shown, hopefully. Well, let's go to 1 John 4, 8 and 9. You know, John was considered himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he had a revelation of that. And so he talked a lot about it, and when he described himself, he was always talking about himself in the third person. The one that Jesus loves. May we have that kind of revelation with God. Ah, I'm the one that Jesus loves. He loves me. He would do anything for me. He already died for me, and he rose again and gave me life and salvation. Okay, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If he's living in us, his love is infused into us. You can't love if you don't have that in you. The world can't love. They might like, but as far as the true meaning of love, they don't have it. And this, in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He cared so much, God cared so much for us that he sent us Jesus so that we could get to know him. That is Father God. So I've already said there has to be a corresponding action to describe something. If God is love, well, how did he demonstrate that? He demonstrated by sending Jesus. And how did Jesus demonstrate it? By going to the cross. So we know that the word is full of verses or descriptions about love. So I just want us to take us to the love chapter. Because the love chapter, you know, we read it from the perspective of this is what we need to do to be in love. But I want us to read it from the point of view that God is love, and this is how he is towards us. Okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to skip the first few verses and start with verse 4. Love, or God, suffers long and is kind. He puts up with a lot of things with us. Love does not envy. How many times have we put something else ahead of God? But he still loves us. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil about us. Now, how many of you were brought up thinking God is up there with a big stick ready to knock you in the head every time you made a mistake? That's the way I was brought up. How can you trust a God like that? You walk in fear because, oh, if I do anything wrong, he's going to take away his love from me. Well, that's not what this is saying. God is not provoked, and he thinks no evil. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things about us. He sees the end picture. He hopes all things, all the good things for us, and he endures all things. Love never fails. God never fails, right? So his love for us is so great that no matter how we mess things up, he still loves us. And if we allow his light to shine upon us in our hearts and reveal things to us, he'll show us a better way. Amen? So I want to read the Amplified on this as well, because it really is good. So chapter 13, we're going to read 4 through the first part of 8. (Clears throat) And I started this by saying, my Father, who is love, endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. God is not rude and unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on his own rights or his own way, for it is not self-seeking. He's given us a will and a choice to make decisions. And just because we get saved or come to him and ask him to be our Father God, he still does not control us like a robot. He's not a dictator. So he does not insist in his own ways, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy, is not fretful or resentful. Love takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best in every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. That's God's love for us. Amen? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your love. It's his mercy, his grace towards us, that he would continue to love us, knowing that we're not perfect. And God is a perfect God, and he wants us to be perfect like him, and he will help us, but he never condemns us. He never turns us away. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm trying to give you a picture of what our Father God and what Jesus looks like. Because, you know, we hear these things over and over. But does it get down inside? Does it really resonate with us? Can we really see what God looks like? Words are a life force. They're like seeds. Every seed has within itself the power to reproduce. Everything is complete in that seed. In the natural, a seed has a male and a female that must connect, like when flowers are pollinated or animals and humans mate. There's action that takes place, right? So the spoken word is the spiritual and the natural coming together. And it has the ability to reproduce itself. So when we're talking about God and the words that he has spoken into existence, then we can kind of understand this better. Like when he spoke for light to shine, light is still shining, isn't it? It's still going on and on and on. The sun continues to shine, right? Now, there may be times when it doesn't appear that the sun is shining. But then there's something blocking our view, right? There might be a storm. There might be something else that's going on that's blocking that view. But the sun is still shining. It's because God spoke it into existence, and it's still working. It's still going forth. It's still reproducing itself. In my devotional time, sometimes I like to read different books and stuff. And in The Master is Calling by Lynn Hammond, on page 79, she says that when we receive God's words, His power is transmitted unto us. So the word becomes alive within us, and it causes us to become like the word. Love words beget love, right? So if we're lacking in love, then we need to maybe get more of the love scriptures in us, right? The more you look at something, you start going towards that. You start becoming that. You ever drive down the road and look at something that's a little off the side, and then you have a car honk at you because all of a sudden you were starting to go in the other lane because you were following what you were looking at. You thought you were holding that wheel steady, but it didn't work because you're going to shift towards what you're looking at. So that makes us contemplate, okay, what are we looking at? What are we in the natural? What are we looking at? What are we feeding into our mind and into our spirits? So I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll be watching a program. I like to watch TV. I like to be seeing stuff. I don't know. It's vision for me. But there's so many times I have to turn that channel off or turn the... Sometimes I get disgusted, just turn the whole TV off. Because why? It's not depicting God. It's taking me a wrong path. If I'm watching something that's just spouting off a bunch of adultery, what's going to happen with that? Eventually, I'm going to start thinking, it's okay, you know. It's not. Then you really need to, okay, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, cleanse me. I'll look at my word. And he says, well, if you just read the word, you'll see what you're supposed to be looking at. Amen. I'm just being real here. Oh, dear Lord. I don't know. Anybody of you have that issue? Maybe not, but you might have something else. So, some names to consider that God has would be love, provider, protector, comforter, healer, savior, peace, shepherd. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Then I know there's some, for people who like to know the real names of God in the Bible, I got a few of them here, but like Jehovah, Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He's got a banner over us, and it's love. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Maybe somebody else could pronounce these better, but you know, there's so many that you could go on and on and on throughout the scriptures. God is trying to reveal himself to us. He wants us to see him. Not for what he looks like in the natural, because each one of us would see something different. Let's turn to John 16 and 12 through 15. Okay, verse 12. Jesus is talking here and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit, he left us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus. And Jesus came to reveal the Father. So the Holy Spirit is here to reveal Jesus and the Father, right? So he did not leave us without a guide to what he looks like. So, it leaves us with the awesome aspect of now that the Holy Spirit has been given unto us and Jesus is gone, that we must now reveal to the world, what does Jesus look like? What does the Father look like? They're not here in the flesh showing people things. You cannot understand and know God in the natural. He's a spirit being. You have to get to know him through the Spirit. Well, if they're not born again, they're not going to have that revelation. So how are they going in the natural to see what God looks like? What would draw them to him? Now we know the Holy Spirit's job is to draw people, but he uses those that are the children of God to do that. We already read about, you know, Jesus being the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn. And that was Colossians 1:15. But verse 27 also says, to them God would make known what is the glorious riches of this mystery among the nations. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is a hope that things aren't always going to be like they are. You know, the world is in despair. And if we look at all the things going on around us without thinking about God, we're going to get into despair, right? Because then we think there's no hope. What hope is there? But Christ is in us. That is our hope of glory. So, I believe all of us are here are saved, right? Everybody here has asked Jesus to come into your life. So, I want you to look at yourself. Just take a mental image of yourself. Look at your hands. Look at your feet. Christ is in you. I want you to say out loud, Christ is in my heart.
Christ is in my heart.
It's in my hands. It's in my feet. Everywhere I go, he's with me. Remember the glove that Jim was talking about? This old body, we just take it off and it's lifeless. But the real us inside of us, it's the same image. The glove is just like an image. It's not a true image, but it fits our hand, right? Well, so our nature, our true inside of us is what people are going to be able to see if we allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us, right? Because he's within us. So, now, just thinking about that, now I want you to turn and look at the person to your left and then to your right. You may have to look away since there is some distance between some of you. Look at him and thinking, Jesus is in them. Can you say that? Jesus is in them. So what does God look like? Can you see him in them? Look at your neighbor and say, oh, I see Jesus in you. Come on now. And there's some of you not doing it. This is a faith exercise. I can see Jesus in them. Can you see him in yourself? Yes. You see him in yourself? Whether anybody else can, I can see you down there, Jesus. If that is hard to do, then we need to read more of the scriptures of in him. Let the word reveal to us who we are. Who are we in him? It's going to change our whole aspect. It will empower us to live like we should. What do I look like to the world? Oh, can they get past my natural appearance and see what I truly am inside? Or is the natural so blaring that they can't even get past it? You know, it's like, oh, if that's the way Christians are, I don't want to know them. Well, that's a whole nother subject. But anyway, if we mess up, guess what? We have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. We just have to go to him. So, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1 again. I hope you're getting to understand what I'm meaning. So we're going to read those verses again. Now I'm going to read them in Amplified. Hebrews 1 through 4. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels,
as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now we're going to go to the Amplified here. Now, in many separate revelations, see, this is revealing God, each of which set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. So he would never look the same, would he? Because he only gave partial truths to each one of them, a portion of the truth. So in different ways he would appear. He, you know, when they described him, it would appear different in the different scriptures. But in these last days he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Everything out there. He just spoke it into existence, and it had to obey what was in his word, right? He, that is Jesus, is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outrain or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name or title which he has inherited in different inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. We all know we're not supposed to worship angels, right? Yet if you ever see one, first thing you want to do is give them glory because they're so much outstanding. But Jesus is so much higher. And guess what? He seated us with him. We are on the same level as Jesus. That's hard to believe. But he lives in us. So what does God look like? Can the world recognize him by looking at you? The more we understand our position in him and act on those words, taking them into our being, the more people will recognize God. And they will say, "You have been with Jesus." They will recognize the true Father God. How many of you know there's a lot of fathers out there? But we're looking for the true Father God. That's who we're wanting to know. So, in closing, I have two assignments for you. A teacher can't close class without giving assignments, right? So, number one is study the names of God. Just find out what they are. You can even Google them. Study the names of God so you can recognize what he looks like. And then number two, study the in him scriptures so that you can know what you look like and represent him for who he is. Right? We'll be more conscious of how we behave around others because we want to have our actions replicate who we are. Actions speak louder than words. You heard that one? So if we're not acting like God, then they're not going to recognize God. Our job is to fulfill what Jesus came to do, to go into all the world, preach the gospel, to win souls for him, take him out of the enemy's kingdom. Get them out of there so that they can come with us, be part of the family. Amen? Amen. So our actions show our faith then. We have faith and believe what God, who God is, what God looks like. And then whenever we look at a picture of what does Jesus look like? You know, you can get caught up in that. What does Jesus look like? Well, should I get this picture or a different picture? All I can say is that God, he reveals himself different to different people. And when you look at an artist's rendition, look for the nature of God they're depicting. Is it a God of love that is reaching down to help somebody? Is it a God who's lovingly taking the kids up on his lap? Is it a God that it could even be rebuking the leaders who should have known him and who were doing things in the temple that they shouldn't have done? Yeah, sometimes there is rebuke. But why did he do it? It was because he loved them. He wanted all men to know what God the Father was. God the Father is not out here taking advantage of people, charging you exorbitant prices for a little pigeon so that you could have a sacrifice. You know? So when let's not get all caught up on the things that Jesus did and say, well, that doesn't look like Father God. Look at the intent of the heart. And that's what we want to display, right? So by us having faith in the Word and believing that if we take these words into our heart, the more we become like him, the more the world is going to be attracted unto God, and they're going to see God. Amen?